Snow tore through the pines like shattered glass when a desperate whimper broke the howling wind. A rogue Omega, banished and entirely alone, stumbled upon a bleeding man, buried in the snowdrifts, his massive, freezing body violently shuddering as he shielded two tiny pups. She thought she was saving a broken, exiled traveler. She had absolutely no idea she was dragging the most feared Alpha King of the Northern Realms directly into her isolated cabin. The winter of the year was unforgiving, the kind of brutal, bone-snapping cold that the elders of the Ifelgard territories whispered about in terrifying fables. For Genevieve, however, the cold was simply another adversary in a long line of betrayals. 2 years prior, she had been violently stripped of her pack mark and driven into the untamed wilderness. Her former Alpha, a cruel, paranoid man named Cedric of the Ashborn Pack, had framed her father, a loyal baiter named Gregory Sterling, for a treasonous plot he never committed. Gregory was executed, and Genevieve, carrying the gentle, submissive scent of an Omega, was deemed too weak to survive the exile and left for dead. But Genevieve did not die. She rebuilt her life in a forgotten, rotting hunter's cabin, deep within the whispering pines, learning to set iron traps, forage for frost-bitten roots, and mask her sweet honey and cedar scent with ash and pine tar. She had hardened her heart to the world of wolves, alphas, and pack politics. Until the night the great blizzard hit, the wind was screaming against the wooden slats of her roof, the temperature plunging so low that the moisture in the air was crystallizing into falling diamonds of ice. Genevieve was securing the heavy iron deadbolt on her door when she heard it. It wasn't the wind. It was the distinct, broken, frantic cry of a wolf pup. Her Omega instincts, buried beneath 2 years of trauma and ice, flared to life with blinding intensity. Ignoring the sheer suicidal nature of stepping into the whiteout conditions, Genevieve threw on her heavy bearskin cloak, grabbed a lantern, and pushed her way out into the roaring storm. She waded through waist-deep snow, the wind biting at her cheeks like a thousand needles. "Where are you?" she screamed, but the wind snatched her words away. Then her foot struck something unyielding beneath a massive snowdrift. Genevieve fell to her knees, frantically digging with her bare, freezing hands. Her fingers brushed against fur thick, coarse, and matted with frozen blood. It was a man, shifted half into his human form, his broad, violently scarred back, taking the full, lethal brunt of the blizzard. He was unimaginably huge, radiating a fading, terrifying heat. But it wasn't just him. Tucked tightly beneath his massive chest, sheltered from the wind by his curled body, were two tiny, shivering wolf pups. One with fur as white as the surrounding snow, the other a deep, mottled gray. They were barely breathing, their whimpers growing dangerously weak. The mud was the first thing she truly noticed. Genevieve could smell the sickeningly sweet, metallic stench of silver poisoning rolling off him, overpowering the scent of the storm. He had been hunted. "Hey! You have to get up!" Genevieve screamed over the wind, grabbing his massive shoulder. The man's head lolled. For a fraction of a second, his eyes fluttered open. They were not the amber or brown of a normal wolf. They were a terrifying, incandescent, molten gold, the mark of royal blood. But the light in them was flickering, dying out as the silver worked its way toward his heart. He couldn't walk. He weighed easily 250 pounds of sheer, dense muscle. But Genevieve's adrenaline surged, fueled by the frantic cries of the dying pups. She grabbed the two cubs, shoving them deep into the inner pockets of her cloak against her own body heat. Then she unhooked her leather belt, looped it under the massive stranger's arms, and began the agonizing, impossible drag back to the cabin. Every step was pure agony. Her muscles tore, her lungs burned with the icy air, and her boots slipped on the hidden ice. She fell 3 times, her knees bleeding through her thick trousers, but the whimpers against her chest forced her back to her feet. It took her 40 minutes to drag him just 200 yards. when she finally hauled him over the threshold and slammed the heavy oak door shut against the storm, Genevieve collapsed on the floor, gasping for air. But there was no time to rest. The man was unresponsive, his lips tinged a terrifying shade of blue, his skin pale and clammy. Genevieve dragged him closer to the stone hearth, tossing three massive lobs onto the dying embers and roaring the fire back to life. She stripped off her cloak, placing the two freezing pups in a woven basket lined with heated blankets near the hearth. They were lethargic, their little bodies locked in violent shivers. Then she turned to the stranger. Rolling him onto his back, she gasped. His chest and abdomen were littered with deep, jagged lacerations, but the worst was a massive puncture wound near his ribcage. The flesh around it was blackened and necrotic. A silver-tipped arrow or blade had broken off inside him. If she didn't get it out, he would be dead before dawn. Genevieve didn't hesitate. She ran to her apothecary cabinet, pulling out a sterilized hunting knife, a bottle of potent high-proof moonshine, and a jar of crushed kingsfoil and yarrow root. She knelt beside the massive stranger, her hands shaking slightly as she poured the alcohol directly over his blackened wound. The man violently seized, a low, guttural, deafening growl ripping from his chest even in his unconscious state. The raw power behind that sound made the cabin walls physically vibrate, forcing Genevieve to her knees in pure, instinctual omega submission. Her breath hitched. Normal wolves didn't possess an aura that heavy. Fighting through the oppressive pressure of his unconscious dominance, Genevieve gritted her teeth. "Stay still, damn you," she whispered, tears of strain pricking her eyes as she dug the blade into his flesh, searching for the silver shrapnel. Blood soaked her hands, the metallic tang of it filling the small cabin. Finally, her blade clicked against metal. With a sickening squelch, she pried out a jagged 3-inch shard of pure, blackened silver. The man convulsed once, violently, before slumping back against the floorboards, his breathing instantly easing. Genevieve stitched the wound with shaking, blood-stained hands, packed it with her healing salve, and wrapped his massive torso in clean linen. Exhausted to her very bones, she curled up on the rug next to the basket of pups, pulling one of his massive, heavy arms over her to share her omega body heat, and fell into a deep, dreamless sleep as the blizzard raged on outside. When Alistair Sterling King of the Northern Iron Fang Territories finally opened his eyes, he did not immediately move. Years of surviving assassination attempts and brutal territorial wars had taught him the lethal value of assessing his surroundings before reacting. His head pounded with a dull, rhythmic ache, and his side burned like hellfire, but the paralyzing, suffocating grip of the silver was gone. He remembered the ambush at the Border Gorge. He remembered the treacherous mercenaries hired by his own uncle, a coup designed to slaughter him and his twin heirs. He remembered running, fighting, bleeding, and dragging his children into the blinding white of the storm to hide them. He remembered dying in the snow. Alistair inhaled sharply, his golden eyes scanning the dimly lit rustic cabin. The air was thick with the scent of dried herbs, wood smoke, and something else, a scent so intoxicatingly sweet, so agonizingly perfect, it made his alpha wolf claw at the inside of his chest. Honey, crushed cedar, and wild rain. He shifted his gaze downward. Curled against his side, fast asleep, was a woman. She was small, her dark hair a tangled mess, her face smeared with dried blood and soot. She looked exhausted, fragile, and utterly breathtaking. And tucked securely in the crook of her other arm, breathing deeply and warmly, were his two cubs, Leo and Mia. The king's heart slammed against his ribs. The cubs, who had lost their mother to illness a year prior, and fiercely rejected the touch of anyone but Alistair, were completely relaxed, nuzzling into the strange woman's neck. Alistair moved to sit up, but a sharp hiss of pain escaped his lips. Genevieve snapped awake instantly. Her eyes, wide and startled, met his. She scrambled backward, instinctively putting herself between him and the cubs, a small iron poker snatched from the hearth in her trembling hand. "Don't move," she ordered, though her voice shook. "Your stitches will tear." Alistair stared at her, masking the overwhelming urge to pull her back into his arms to bask in her scent. He narrowed his golden eyes, schooling his features into a mask of stoic neutrality. He couldn't trust her. He couldn't trust anyone. If she knew who he was, the Alpha King with a bounty on his head massive enough to buy a kingdom, she might sell him out to the mercenaries currently scouring the woods. "Where am I?" Alistair's voice was a deep, gravelly baritone that sent an involuntary shiver down Genevieve's spine. "Safe, for now," she replied, keeping the poker raised. "You're in the Whispering Pines. I found you and your pups freezing to death in the drift. I pulled a silver shard the size of a dagger out of your ribs." She paused, her eyes darting to his chest. "You are hunted. Who are you?" Alistair didn't break eye contact. "My name is Arthur," he lied smoothly. "I'm a lone wolf, a rogue, added. We were ambushed by bandits on the southern road. I ran to protect my children." Genevieve slowly lowered the poker, her expression softening with immediate, agonizing empathy. She knew the pain of being a rogue, of being hunted and chased with nowhere to run. Bandits carrying pure silver? She questioned, a hint of suspicion lingering in her voice. "Silver is expensive, Arthur. Bandits don't waste it on lone wolves." Alistair's jaw tightened. She was smart. They weren't ordinary bandits. They were poachers. They wanted the pelts of my cubs. The lie worked. Genevieve's eyes flashed with fierce maternal anger. She looked down at the two pups, who were now yawning and stretching, their tiny paws reaching up to bat at Genevieve's chin. "Well, they are safe here," Genevieve said softly, reaching down to gently stroke Leo's white fur. The pup let out a happy trill, licking her fingers. "I'm Genevieve. I'm a rogue, too." Over the next 3 days, the blizzard kept them completely snowed in, isolating the cabin from the rest of the world. In that confined space, a dangerous electric tension began to build. Genevieve tended to Alistair's wounds, her delicate, warm hands tracing over his scarred skin to apply salves. Every touch sent bolts of lightning through Alistair's veins. He watched her cook, watched her laugh as Mia chased her own tail, watched the way the firelight danced in her eyes. His Arthur Wolf was howling, demanding he claim her, demanding he tell her the truth and make her his queen. But the rational, paranoid king held back. He was a hunted man. To bring her into his world was to paint a target on her back. Genevieve, too, was struggling. Arthur was unlike any man she'd ever met. He was intensely protective, his gaze following her every move with a burning intensity that made her flush. He didn't treat her like a weak, broken omega. He listened to her, asked her about her survival, and respected her space. Yet she could feel the sheer, suppressed power rolling off him in waves. Sometimes, when he thought she wasn't looking, his posture would shift commanding, arrogant, regal. He ate his meager portions of rabbit stew like he was dining at a high table. But the peace of their snowbound sanctuary was an illusion. And on the dawn of the fourth day, the illusion shattered. The wind had died down, replaced by an eerie, dead silence. Genevieve was at the window, scraping frost from the glass to check her snares, when her blood ran completely cold. Standing at the edge of the tree line about 50 yards away were 5 men. They weren't wearing the ragged furs of bandits. They wore the heavy, crimson-dyed leather cloaks of the Ashbourne Pack, her former pack, and leading them was Harrison, the sadistic baiter who had personally driven her into the wilderness 2 years ago. Genevieve dropped her rag, a strangled gasp escaping her throat. "They found me." Alistair, who had been resting by the fire, was on his feet in a fraction of a second, entirely ignoring his torn side. The lethal, terrifying speed at which he moved made Genevieve flinch. He was at the window, peering over her shoulder, his massive chest pressing lightly against her back. "Who are they?" Alistair demanded, his voice dropping into a deadly, vibrating rumble that made the wooden floorboards creak. Ashbourne hunters, Genevieve whispered, panic suffocating her. My old pack. They must have seen the smoke from the chimney. If they find me here, Harrison will kill me. He swore he would if he ever saw my face again. Alistair's golden eyes flared with sudden, blinding rage. The lie of Arthur the Lone Wolf slipped. His kingly aura exploded outward, a wave of pure, unadulterated dominance so heavy that the two pups whimpered and pressed themselves flat to the floor. Genevieve danced, her knees buckling under the sheer weight of his power, but Alistair caught her by the waist, holding her firmly against him. No one, Alistair growled, his canines elongating, his eyes glowing like dual suns, is going to touch you. He took a step toward the door, ready to rip the five men apart with his bare hands, but the sudden movement tore his stitches wide open. Fresh, dark blood rapidly soaked through his linen bandages. He grunted, stumbling slightly as his injured side gave out. Stop! Genevieve cried, grabbing his arm. You're too weak. They have silver blades. If you fight them now, you'll die and they'll take the cubs. A heavy, frantic knock echoed through the cabin, violently shaking the oak door. Up and up, Rogue, Harrison's cruel voice sneered from outside. We smell you in there, and we smell the blood. Genevieve's heart hammered a frantic rhythm against her ribs. She looked at the massive, bleeding man who had somehow become the center of her world in just 3 days, and then at the terrified pups. She made a decision. Get in the root cellar, she ordered Alistair, her voice suddenly devoid of panic, replaced by a cold, hardened resolve. Take the cubs and get under the floorboards. Do not make a sound. I don't care what you hear up here. Do not come out. Genevieve, no, Alistair snarled, refusing to hide behind an Omega. Do it, Arthur, or we all die. She screamed in a harsh whisper, shoving him toward the trapdoor hidden under the rug. Reluctantly, furiously, Alistair grabbed his cubs and descended into the dark, damp cellar. As Genevieve slammed the trapdoor shut and pulled the rug back over it, she grabbed her heavy crossbow from the wall, loaded a steel-tipped bolt, and turned to face the door. The handle was already turning. The heavy oak door splintered inward with a deafening crack, the frozen wood giving way beneath the brutal kick of a heavy iron-toed boot. Snow swirled into the cabin, followed immediately by Harrison. He was a massive, scarred brute of the Beta, flanked by three heavily armed trackers, Bennett, Wyas, and a ruthless mercenary named Fitzgerald, known in the lower territories for collecting Omega bounties. Genevieve stood her ground by the hearth, her crossbow leveled directly at Harrison's chest. Her hands were trembling, but her jaw was set in absolute stone. Well, well. Harrison sneered, brushing a dusting of snow from his crimson cloak. His cruel, dark eyes scanned the meager room, lingering on the dried herbs and the flickering fire before finally settling on her. Look what the winter dragged in. I told Cedric it was a mistake, letting you wander off into the pine. Omegas are like roaches. You just don't know when to die, do you, Genevieve? Okay. Get out of my home, Genevieve ordered, her voice a low, warning hiss. Her finger tightened on the trigger mechanism. You have no jurisdiction here in the Whispering Pines. This is neutral territory. Neutral territory. Fitzgerald laughed, stepping out from behind Harrison. He kicked a wooden stool across the room, shattering it against the stone wall. The Ashbourne Pack claims what it wants. And right now we want the bounty on the rogue who just slaughtered a dozen mercenaries at Gideon's Ridge. They say he dragged himself this way. Genevieve's blood turned to ice. Gideon's Ridge, that was miles away. The men chasing Alistair weren't just poachers, and they certainly weren't looking for pelts. They were looking for a massacre survivor. Harrison's nose twitched. He took a slow, menacing step forward, inhaling deeply. His eyes dropped to the floorboards, tracing the dark, fresh drops of blood that had leaked from Alistair's torn stitches before he climbed into the cellar. That is a lot of blood for a little Omega, Harrison murmured, his gaze snapping back up to her face, a sickening smile stretching across his lips. And it smells incredibly potent. It smells like a king's blood. He paused, his eyes widening in sudden greedy realization. You're hiding him, the Iron Fang King. I don't know what you're talking about, Genevieve lied, raising the crossbow higher. Take one more step, Harrison, and I will put this steel bolt straight through your throat. Harrison didn't even flinch. With a speed born of brute strength, he lunged. Genevieve pulled the trigger. The steel bolt flew, but Harrison battered it aside with his heavily armored gauntlet. The back of his hand slammed into Genevieve's face with bone-crushing force. She flew backward, hitting the stone of the hearth before crumbling to the floor, her vision exploding in a burst of white-hot stars. Search the cabin. Harrison barked at Bennett and Wyatt, grabbing Genevieve by her hair and hauling her violently to her knees. Find the trapdoor. Find the king. Beneath the floorboards, in the pitch-black dampness of the root cellar, Alistair heard the sickening crack of Harrison's fist striking Genevieve's face. He heard her suppressed gasp of pain as she hit the stone. Something inside the Alpha King snapped. It wasn't just anger. It was a primal, earth-shattering realization that tore through his soul like a hurricane. The moment her blood spilled onto the floorboards above, scent wafted down through the cracks, a scent that mixed with the metallic tang of her pain. It was the scent of his fated mate. The shock of it momentarily blinded him. His wolf, suppressed by the silver poisoning and the sheer exhaustion of near death, roared to life with a terrifying, uncontrollable fury. The woman upstairs, the broken, exiled Omega, who had dragged his massive frame through a blizzard, who had dug silver from his flesh with shaking hands, who was currently taking a beating to protect his children, was his other half. His queen, the silver poisoning no longer mattered. The torn stitches no longer mattered. The pain was entirely eradicated by the blinding, bloodthirsty rage of an Alpha King whose mate was being touched by an enemy. Alistair gently set the trembling pups in the darkest corner of the cellar. Close your eyes, he whispered to them, his voice vibrating with a lethal, demonic resonance. Above, Harrison was dragging Genevieve toward the door. If he won't come out, we'll take you back to Cedric, Harrison sneered, his grip tightening on her scalp. Let's see how long the king hides while we skin you alive in the snow. A low, guttural rumble began to vibrate through the floorboards. It sounded like the earth itself was splitting open. Wyatt froze, his hand hovering over a cabinet. What is that? Before Harrison could answer, the wooden floor directly beneath his feet violently exploded. Thick oak planks shattered into a thousand jagged splinters as Alistair erupted from the cellar like a god of war. The sheer kinetic force of his breach sent Bennett and Wyatt flying across the room. Wood fragments ring down as the king landed in the center of the cabin, his massive chest heaving, his torn bandages completely soaked in dark blood. But it was his eyes that made Harrison drop Genevieve and stumble backward in absolute terror. They were not just gold, they were a blinding, incandescent inferno of Alpha authority. The oppressive weight of his aura slammed into the room, so heavy and absolute that the fire in the hearth instantly snuffed out, leaving the cabin bathed only in the pale, snowy light from the broken door. You dare touch her? Alistair's voice was not human. It was a double-layered, demonic growl that forced Fitzgerald to his knees, clutching his throat as he gasped for air against the crushing pressure. King Alistair, Harrison choked out, his arrogance evaporating into pure, unadulterated fear. He drew his silver blade, but his hand was shaking so violently he nearly dropped it. The Ashborn Pack will burn, Alistair interrupted, his voice a death knell. He moved faster than the human eye could track. Alistair didn't bother shifting into his wolf form. He didn't need to. He grabbed Wyatt by the throat and threw him with such devastating force against the far wall that the man slumped instantly unconscious. Bennett swung a heavy broadsword, but Alistair ducked, driving a devastating punch into the man's ribs that cracked bone audibly before tossing him out into the freezing snow. Fitzgerald turned to run, but Alistair seized him by the back of his crimson cloak, lifting him entirely off the ground and hurling him through the broken window. That left only Harrison. The sadistic Beta swung his silver blade wildly, backing toward the door. "Tedric will pay a fortune for your head," Harrison screamed, a desperate, pathetic attempt at bravado. Alistair stepped forward, ignoring the blade entirely. He caught Harrison's wrist in a grip like a steel vise. The sickening crunch of breaking bones echoed through the silent cabin as Harrison shrieked, dropping the dagger. Alistair grabbed him by the throat, lifting the massive Beta off his feet until they were eye to eye. "Tell Cedric," Alistair whispered, his golden eyes burning holes into Harrison's terrified soul, "that King Alistair of Ironfang is alive. Tell him I'm coming for his territory. And tell him that if he or any of his pathetic hounds ever look at my mate again, I will flay him alive and mount his head on the gates of my capital." Alistair tossed Harrison out the door like a piece of broken trash. "Run," the king commanded. Harrison scrambled frantically through the deep snowdrifts, abandoning his bleeding men as he fled blindly back toward the Ashbourne borders. The heavy silence that fell over the cabin was deafening. The cold wind howled through the shattered door, swirling snow across the blood-stained, broken floorboards. Alistair stood in the center of the wreckage, his chest rising and falling heavily. Slowly, the blinding gold in his eyes faded back to a warm, deep amber. The terrifying, crushing weight of his alpha aura retracted, pulling back until the air in the cabin was breathable once more. Genevieve remained on the floor, clutching her bruised cheek, staring up at the man she thought was a simple rogue. Her mind was spinning, trying to reconcile the gentleman who had eaten rabbit stew by her fire with the terrifying monarch who had just single-handedly dismantled 4 elite trackers. "Arthur," she whispered, a voice trembling. Alistair closed his eyes, a flicker of deep regret crossing his harsh features. He turned to her, instantly dropping to his knees by her side. He reached out, his massive, blood-soaked hands incredibly gentle as he cupped her face. "I am so sorry, Genevieve," he murmured, his thumb lightly brushing the swelling bruise on her cheekbone. The mud, his skin touched hers, a warm electric shock passed between them, a definitive confirmation of the mate bond. Genevieve gasped, her Omega Wolf finally recognizing the scent of her true Arthur. "Your King Alistair," she breathed, the realization fully crashing over her. "The Ironfang King. And you? You called me your mate. I am Alistair," he corrected softly, his gaze locked intensely on hers. "Arthur was a lie to protect you. But everything else, the way I look at you, the way my children adore you, the way my wolf screams for you, that is the most honest truth in my life." He leaned closer, resting his forehead against hers, uncaring of the blood and dirt that coated them both. "I thought my heart died a long time ago, Genevieve. I thought I was just surviving for Leo and Mia. But when I heard him hit you, when I smelled your blood, I knew." From the shattered hole in the floorboards, 2 tiny heads peeked out. Leo, the white pup, that had a soft whine, scrambling up the splintered wood to trot over to Genevieve. Mia followed quickly. They didn't run to their powerful father. They ran to Genevieve, burying their cold noses into her lap and whimpering in distress at the sight of her bruise. Genevieve looked down at the pups, then up into the fierce, devoted eyes of the king, the walls she had built around her heart over the last 2 years of exile. The belief that she was broken, unwanted, and weak crumbled entirely into dust. "You saved my life in the blizzard," Alistair said, his voice thick with emotion as he gently pulled her up into his arms, holding her securely against his uninjured side. "Now let me give you mine. Come with me to Ironfang. Let me tear Cedric from his throne and give you the justice you deserve. Be my mate. Be their mother. Be my queen." Genevieve looked around the ruined cabin. The place that had been her prison and her sanctuary was destroyed. But as she looked back at Alistair, feeling the undeniable magnetic pull of the bond snapping perfectly into place, she realized she didn't need the cabin anymore. She had a pack. She had a family. "Take me home, Alistair," she whispered. The Alpha King smiled a genuine, breathtaking smile that reached his golden eyes. He gathered his new queen and his pups, pulling Genevieve's heavy cloak tightly around her shoulders. Stepping out of the ruined cabin and into the clearing winter morning, they left the Whispering Pines behind forever, walking straight toward the Ironfang territories to reclaim a throne, build an empire, and start a terrifying, beautiful war. If this tale of survival, betrayal, and a king finding his true queen kept you on the edge of your seat, hit that like button right now. Don't forget to share this story with your fellow fantasy romance lovers, and subscribe to the channel for more epic werewolf dramas, royal twists, and heart-pounding adventures. What should happen to Cedric? Let me know in the comments below.